Morning. Today's daf in Pesachim Pei Beis. We are starting with the Mishnah and Pei Alpha Amud Beis. We are going to be discussing today more about the Karban Pesach, specifically about disposal of a Karban Pesach if, in fact, it becomes disqualified. The Mishnah here is going to be talking about what fuel I could use in order to burn it. It has to be burnt, as we're going to see in just a moment. Where exactly does it have to be burned? Here we are drawing to the end. We still got four more dafim to go. Drawing to the end of the seventh parak of the Masechta. Obviously, over here, we're continuing our discussion regarding Karban Pesach. The beginning of this parak treated us a little bit to how to roast a Karban Pesach, but that was just the first two blot of this parak. You go all the way back to the beginning of this parak. This has been a longer parak here in this Masechta. So you go all the way back to Dapim Ayin Dala Ayin Hay. So we talked about the roasting of the Karban Pesach. But since that point in time, starting with the Mishnah on the bottom of Ayin Hay and Beis, all the way to where we are right now, so we've been discussing in Yanim of the Karban Pesach in terms of what happens if a portion of it were not to be roasted, some of it were to be cooked, the idea that Tumah is going to override it, that's been a big part of our discussion since here in the seventh parak. One of the major themes that we've been covering here in the seventh parak is whether or not Tumah is Hushra B'tzibur, Techuya B'tzibur, right, a classic Chakira, which really comes from our parak over here. So continuing now in our parak, we're going to be talking about what happens when the Karban Pesach now becomes disqualified and how exactly to dispose of it. Nitma Shalem, Orubo. So let's say either the entire carbon itself becomes Tameh or the majority of the carbon becomes Tameh. So Sarfano Solifne Abira, Me'atze Amaracha. So one is allowed to burn, one has to burn the Karban Pesach. Lifne Abira. Lifne Abira means in front of the base of Mikdash. Right? When we say bira over here, so what area does that cover? It's certainly referring to the area of the Beis HaMikdash. So Rashi writes over here, the first Rashi in the Mishnah, Kol HaMikdash Kulo Karui Bira. The entire Mikdash is referred to as bira. Still from Rashi, it's not perfectly clear exactly what areas we're talking about. Rashi over here is including the Har HaBayis. I'm not sure. But in any event, however, it has to be burned in the area of the Beis HaMikdash. If I had to guess, I would suggest that Rashi is talking specifically about the Azara, but again, not perfectly clear. But the point is, however, is that if it becomes Tameh or the majority becomes Tameh, so you have to burn it in the beer, in the area of the base of Mikdash, me'atze ha-ma'aracha. And Rashi says you could use the wood of the maracha. Now, the wood of the maracha is wood that was designed to go up onto the base of Mikdash in order to burn karbanos. You're using the wood now to burn your disqualified carbon. So how does that work? Meaning, doesn't this belong to the Beis HaMikdash? And by using it for your own personal good, now granted, you're using it for a carbon reason, but you're not offering a carbon with this wood. You're just simply disposing of your disqualified carbon with this wood. Isn't that going to be a violation of Me'ilah? So Rashi over here doesn't comment, but Tosfos does. Last Tosfos on the Amud. Nin maruba sarfano solif ne'abira me'atze nira hatam mishum delay beisam masna aleihem. So Tosfos over here suggests the following, that when Kedusha was imbued into the wood, so it was done conditionally. We see this a number of times throughout the Gemara, that on certain occasions, so a Kedusha is placed into an item, but only on condition of its need. And over here, so this is obviously public Kedusha. It's Kedusha, it's Hekdesh Shel Rabim. And when Beis Din, that's why Tosfos over here invokes Beis Din. And when Beis Din gives it its Kedusha, it does so conditionally. Meaning, if for whatever reason it is, we need it for mundane purposes, so then the Kedusha is not going to be binding. And presumably that goes all the way back retroactive to the time that we gave it its Kedusha. So lay based in Masna Lam Lafishi is Kiku Losurf of Nebera Kidela Vaisho Lo Chirchulahavi Aitsimishalo Viachulahanos Mishal Kodesh. Now, what Tosfos is telling us, information we haven't learned yet, but we're gonna see this soon enough, right? Why exactly does the person have to burn it Lifne Habira? Meaning it's disqualified, just burn it anywhere. So one of the opinions that we're gonna see later on is Kidela Vaisho. We actually want to embarrass an individual. Generally speaking, we're not interested in embarrassing people. And generally speaking, public embarrassment is a significant chait of the Torah. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos describes somebody who publicly embarrasses somebody else as someone who is ein lo chelik olam haba. So the Mishnah speaks in really strong terms about public embarrassment. Over here, however, so embarrassment in order to motivate him to be more careful about his performance of mitzvah. So again, under the guidance of Beis Din and under the guidance of Chazal, So under those circumstances, good. It's warranted. And over here, Tosas here points out, so we're going to publicly embarrass them. So now you want to add, how am I going to say this over here? You want to add injury to insult, right? In other words, we're going to insult them, right? But again, appropriately, right? Under the direction of the Chachamim. And now what are we going to tell them? That not only are we going to have you burn your disqualified carbon in front of everybody because we're having you do it lifnei habira. But on top of that, in addition to that, we're also going to have you bring your own wood in order to burn it. So Tosfos says that's what's going on over here. Meaning we're going through the trouble of embarrassing him, and then what we're going to do, we're going to pile on and tell him to bring his own wood. I mean, the simple answer is yes, maybe that would have been correct. But Tosfos says that's the pshat in our Mishnah. That the Chachamim understood, however, that is already embarrassing enough. For him to bring his own wood is extra, it's just piling on, and that's not necessary. And as far as avoiding the Isser of Me'ila, so Tosfos says that's why Beis Din was made a precondition when setting aside the wood, that if we need the wood for non-carbon purposes, like over here, so then it would be able to be used for that. Good. Let's go back to the Mishnah. Nidma Miyuto. Now, the Mishnah continues. Let's say a minority of the carbon becomes Tamei, V'hanosar, or we're talking about Nosar. So Sorfan Oso B'chatzar Aseim. So here, people can now burn it and privately. They can go to their own courtyards and burn in their own courtyards. So over here, the din that's invoked that you have to burn a lifnei habira is only when either all or most of it is tamei. However, if the minority of it is tamei, or let's say just simply nosar. Now, nosar is not as much a derelict of duty. Nosar just simply means there was some left over. Now, you shouldn't leave over nosar, right? With that we know. But, all right, there was just too much food that night. Right, the Seder night, not only did we have the Karm Pesach, but we also had the Chagiga, and there was the Matzah, and there was the Marer, and all right, well, there was just a lot of food. We left over Nosar. So presumably, it is not as negligent to leave over Nosar, so therefore the Chachamim did not feel that he needed this kind of public humiliation, and so therefore you could dispose of it in your own courtyards. Ol al gago sehem, or you can go to the rooftops and burn on the rooftops. Me'atze atzman. And you provide your own wood. You're not going to be able to use the atze amaracha. They had tzaykanim. Now, what about the people who are cheap? So, sorfanos olifnei habira bishvil lehanos me'atzei amaracha. So, what the cheap people would do is that they would go back to the azara with their tamei meat that only was tamei b'miyuto, or with their nosar, which again, really, what they should be doing is burning it in their own homes with their own wood. However, they want to save. Right, they don't want to use their own wood in order to burn, so they'll go to the Beis Hamikdash and they'll use from the Atzei Hamaracha of the Beis Hamikdash. They're cheap, and that's what they're going to do. And going back to that same Tosfos that we just covered, the last Tosfos on the Amud, and Tosfos says about five lines down, six lines down after Tosfos began, V'chein b'tzaykanim hisnu kamo kain. This Tanai, this Masna that Tosfos describes, lev Beis and Masna aleihem. So it's not only true vis-a-vis the people that we want to embarrass, but also this condition was also made for the people who are cheap and miserly, and for them also. So now the wood of the maracha can be used for them. Now it's so interesting over here because one could just simply argue, look, I understand that we want to embarrass people, right? Under limited circumstances, fine. So for that, based in Masna Aleihem. But for people who are cheap, meaning that's not a biological disposition, right? You go to the base of Mikdash and you want to burn your disqualified meat. Well, why do you want to burn your disqualified meat? Oh, because I'm cheap. That's difficult to understand. In other words, he's not in any kind of halachic category. He does not have any kind of special need. It happens to be that he likes saving money. Okay, he's frugal. So for that, Basin Masna Lehem, Basin's going to set up a precondition to make sure that the wood can be used under those circumstances. That is admittedly difficult to understand, right? Can't we just simply say to him, hey, I got a great idea. Why don't you not be so cheap? Right? Why don't you use your own wood? So, it's so interesting that a special category, a special exception is made for such an individual. He could check off the box that says, yes, I'm cheap. Okay. Anyway, we're up to the Gemara. So the Gemara starts off, my taima. Okay, the Gemara is obviously going back to the first point of the Mishnah, that your carbon becomes tamei either in its, the complete carbon has become tamei, or the majority of it. So you're now expected to burn it in front of others. So my time, I'm Rav Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Kedei Levayshon. Okay, so the Gemara over here spells it out, meaning we knew this already because of Tosfos, but obviously Tosfos knew this because of the Gemara. So the Gemara says that what we're looking to do over here, the Chachamim we're looking to do, is basically caution people, hey, be more careful about your carbon. Don't allow your carbon to become tummy. And now, okay, it'll certainly motivate people, right? It is admittedly coming in the form of punishment, but it will motivate people to be more careful about their carbonos so they don't become tameh. Because remember, that family that had to burn in front of others, and it was embarrassing. Nitma mi'uto. Now, if a minority becomes tameh, virimenu, the Gemara says. Now, in our Mishnah, it says that if a minority becomes tameh, so, or you have no sar, so then you burn it bichatsa rosehim, or on their gag. Remember the Gemara says, now, I'm going to challenge you because Mechen, Mishiyatsim, Yerushalayim, and Iskar, Shiesh, Biyada, Basar, Kodesh. So let's say you left Yerushalayim with carbon. That carbon now is going to be disqualified. What's the psul? The psul is called Yotzei. Having left the base of Mikdash with carbon in your hand. So now the carbon has, having exited the walls of Yerushalayim, if it's Shlamim, so then the walls of Yerushalayim is its outer perimeter. So you go outside the walls of Yerushalayim, now becomes Pasul. Through the psul of Yotzei. So what do you do? So let me start again. V'chein mishiyatzim yishlam yitzkar shesh biyado basar kodesh im avart sofim sofer bim kama. So if you pass sofim, so what you're going to do is you're going to burn it in its place. V'im lav chosef v'sofer lifnei abira me'atzei hamaracha. Otherwise, what you could do is you could turn around, you could go into the base of Mikdash, or you have to go into the base of Mikdash and burn it in front of the bira using the wood of the maracha. Now, Tzofim is what? That's the name of a particular place. So Rashi earlier in the Masechta said yes. Rashi over here writes that Tzofim is just simply a generic place that is describing an area in which you could see Yerushalayim. Rashi writes, Tzofim. Makom sheyachol liros misham habira, umisham bahala in yachol liroso. And the word Tzofim, from the word Tzofeh, right? Tzofeh v'yodea. Right, Akash Baruch Hu sees. So over here, Tzofim just is describing an area where you could see the base of Mikdash. That's Rashi over here, unlike Rashi earlier in the Masechta. Anyway, the point is that once you have left the area, so then you just simply burn it wherever you are. However, if you're within a certain perimeter, let's say like Rashi over here, if you're still within sight of the base of Mikdash, you turn around, you go to the base of Mikdash, and you burn the base of Mikdash. And what do you see over here? Rashi, top Rashi on Pei Beis Amud Aleph. Alma miyutush and if some yatsa maracha, nami sarfina. Even if it's just a meal, you just have a pocket full of carbon that was disqualified through Yotzei, you're still going to go back and you're going to burn it in the base of Mikdash. Unlike what we described in our Mishnah, where in our Mishnah, if it's nitma miyuto, if it's just a minority, so then the expectation, even if you're in Yerushalayim, is that you're not going to go back to the base of Mikdash and burn the base of Mikdash, but you're just simply going to burn it on your rooftop, in your courtyard, but you don't have to go back to the base of Mikdash. So what we have over here seemingly is a stira between what we learned earlier, by the way, this goes back to Memtes, what we learned earlier in our Masechta and our Mishnah over here on today's daf. So the Gemara says, the Gemara is going to give three answers. Rashi really reduces it to two answers, but we'll get to that in just a moment. Answer number one, Amar Rav Chama Bar Ukva Lokasha, Kan Ba'achsanai Kan Ba'balabais. So one distinction to be made is whether or not we're talking about somebody who came from out of town or we're talking about somebody who's in town, right? Being an out-of-towner, so I get sensitive to this. Not really. But I guess it's because I came from town. But anyway, lo kasha kam b'achsanai kam b'balabai. So it depends if you're in town or an out-of-towner. If you're a achsanai, if you just happen to be coming from out of town, so there the Chachamim basically said, look, the expectation over here is that now you're going to have to turn around, go back to Yerushalayim and burn in Yerushalayim. So the way Rashi describes it, it's not necessary. And Rashi says, Kan ba'achsanai, I'm sorry, Rashi says the exact opposite. Rashi says, Kan ba'achsanai, she'in lo eitzim l'sorfo me'atzei amaracha. So, I'm sorry, she'in lo eitzim sorfo me'atzei amaracha. U'masisim be'balabayis. Oh, okay, fine. So Rashi says, look, for the person who's coming from out of town, so he's traveling. And he doesn't have wood. The expectation is he's not traveling, he's not carrying wood. Especially if you consider he's leaving Yerushalayim. What is he going to do? He's leaving Yerushalayim with wood? Probably not. So for that individual, that's why the Mishnah says this, that as long as he's within a certain perimeter, so he can go back into the base of Mikdash and use the wood of the Marach in order to burn his disqualified carbon. Masha'en Kane, if you're an in-town or if you live in Yerushalayim, so you're home. And the expectation is that you have wood in your house. That's that's the way Rashi understands the distinction of Rav Chama Bar Okva. Rav Papa Amar, going back to the Gemara second answer number two, Hava Achsanai. No, both of them are talking about somebody who's an out-of-towner, traveling. And we're just going to make a distinction as to whether or not you really are entrenched on your way. So if you're hichzik baderech, meaning you're really now, right, you got the winds in your sail, I say that metaphorically, but you're really like, you're headed out. So at that point in time, so the chachamim did not weren't matriach you. They didn't say to you, look, you got to turn around, you got to go back, right? It's deflating to have to do that. So under those circumstances, you don't. Masha ain't kain. If you weren't hichzik baderech, if you really weren't on your way, so at that point in time, the expectation is you're going to turn around and you're going to go to the Beis HaMikdash and burn the Beis HaMikdash. That is Rav Papa's response. But both Mishnahs are talking about out-of-towners. And Rav Zvid Amar Lo'olam Kedamar Mikarin. Rav Zvid says that really we're going to go back to what we stated originally. And that is Kambach Sanai Kambach Balabai Af Agav Delo Hichzik Baderech. And even if you were Machzik Baderech, Ach Sanai Kem Delei Slei Asu Kitzaykanim. So as far as the Ach Sanai is concerned, so Kevin Delei Slei, well, look, they don't have any. So therefore, what the Chachamim did is that the Chachamim gave them the same status as the people who are cheap. Remember our Mishnah? Did not. So in our Mishnah, we describe people who are cheap. And as such, they are afforded the opportunity of using the wood of the Beis HaMikdash. Again, I go back to what I said back in the Mishnah. It's really strange that they really represent a segment of the population, meaning that they get to check a box saying, hey, we're cheap, therefore it's okay. But the Chachamim allow that. So over here, the people who are traveling, we're going back to our original answer of Rav Chama Bar Okva. So people who are traveling are going to be put in that same category, meaning their expectation is that they don't have wood. Masha ain't kain. But when we're talking about in-towners, so for in-towners, so they do have wood, and therefore they're expected to use their own wood. Okay, so a sira between Mishnayos regarding whether or not you could use Atzei Hamaracha. So the Mishnah earlier in Masechta back on Daf Memtes says that for a person traveling and carrying and finding out that he had Yotzei in his pocket, right, carbon that was disqualified through the pursuit of Yotzei. So as long as he's within a certain perimeter, he's expected to go back to the Beis HaMikdash and burn the psul carbon in the Beis HaMikdash using the Atzei HaMaracha. And our Mishnah over here that says that's not necessary if it's miut, right? Nidma miuto or nosar. So you don't have to go back to the Beis HaMikdash. How to draw a difference between them. So as Rashi here points out, really there are two distinctions to draw out. Rav Chama Bar Okva, as explained by Rav Zvid, that's the way Rashi explains it. The Rav Zvid is just coming to explain Rav Chama Bar Okva. Rav Chama Bar Okva and Rav Zvid makes a distinction between people who are in-towners and out-of-towners. Out-of-towners who don't have wood or are not traveling with wood, so they can go back to the Beis HaMikdash. And the way Rav Zvid explains it, because basically we put them in the same category of cheap. We're not calling them cheap, but just like a dispensation was made for people who are cheap, so therefore, the same is going to be extended for these people over here who simply don't have wood. Masha ain't kain, but people who are in towners, so they have wood in their home, and therefore they're supposed to use their own wood. Rav Papa says both the Gemara earlier and our Gemara over here talking about people who are traveling out of towners, and it's just a question of whether or not they were machzik b'derech or they were not machzik b'derech. We continue. We are on today's daf pei beis amud aleph. We are about a dozen lines from the top of the Amatan Rabban, beginning of the line. Ba'ol Sarfa Bechatzar Oseim. Ume Atzei Hama'aracha Ein Shomin Lahem. Let's say that we have people living in Yerushalayim, and they want to burn it in the courtyard, but they want to use the wood of the Ma'aracha. So at that point in time, we say to them, no. Conversely, Lifnei Abir Ume Atzei Atzman Ein Shomin Lahem. Let's say they go to the area of the Beis HaMikdash in order to burn their disqualified carbon, but they supply their own wood. So we say to them, no. So in the Brice over here, so there are basically two factors, and we're saying that both of them are critical. And that is that if you are burning your disqualified meat outside of the area of the Beis HaMikdash, meaning somewhere in Yerushalayim, but outside the Beis HaMikdash, and you want to use Beis HaMikdash wood, no can do. Alternatively, conversely, if you want to burn in the area of the Beis HaMikdash using your own wood, that too, no can do. And the Gemara now goes through both of these factors. So the Gemara says, I understand taking the wood of the Beis HaMikdash, using it in your courtyard, in your own courtyard. So that, the Gemara says, I totally understand. I can easily surmise what the reason is over there. The issue is that you take the wood out. Now, as far as being Moel Behekdash, we already dealt with that, right? That was Tosfos back in the Mishnah. And that lay based on Masnei Alam. You're not going to be Moel Behekdash. The problem, however, is that you may not end up using all the wood. And now if you're not using up all the wood, so there's going to be leftover wood, and then you're going to leave that pile, come back to it later, having forgotten that that was wood of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the basin allowed you to use it to burn disqualified carbon, but that's it. You can't use it for to roast your dinner on a standard Wednesday evening. So you're going to use the leftover wood in order to roast your dinner, and that basin did not make it tonight for that. And then you're going to be Moel Behekdash. Ela lifnei habira me'atzei atzman my time alo, but lifnei habira me'atzei atzman. But in front of the Beis HaMikdash, using their own wood, so why not? What would be the problem over there? So Rav Yosef Amar Shalol Levayishes Mishenlo. So Rav Yosef says, look, we're worried about people and offending and insulting people. If we allow people to bring their own wood, so now you can imagine that people who don't have the means and don't have their own wood to bring, so they're going to feel bad as other people coming into the area of the Beis HaMikdash who have their own wood, and now it's going to highlight the people who don't have. So Rav Yosef says it's an issue of sensitivity to people who don't have. Rav Amar Mimnei Chshad, and Rav says, no, the issue over here is an issue of Chshad. What's the Chshad over here? Rashi writes, Shalachas Reifasam Achzirin Mosar Eitzim Losoch Beisan Ve'eroch Choshem Begudin Vai Atzei Amarech V'nenin Mehen. Because let's consider, you bring your own wood into the area of the Beis HaMikdash in order to burn your disqualified carbon. Good. And now you take out the wood, you burn the disqualified carbon. Turns out you didn't need all that wood. And so now you have a little bit of leftover wood. So what are you going to do? So you're going to pick it up in front of everybody and you're going to go and you're going to leave and you're going to exit the Beis HaMikdash and you're going to go home. And people are looking at you and people are going to say to themselves and to each other, hey, did he just leave with the wood of the Beis HaMikdash? Not realizing that you brought your own wood, right? B-Y-O-W. So they're not realizing that he brought his own wood. And so people are going to start talking and you're going to raise suspicion. Now, you did the right thing. You brought your own wood. So it's totally fine for you to go home with any excess wood. But once again, Chshad tells us that not only do you have to be, look good in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but you have to look good in front of other people as well. Right? It's the first Mishnah of the second Perek of Pirkei Avos, that you have to be Tiferes not only, to Kadosh Baruch Hu, but to other people as well. And that's really the whole idea of Marasayan, meaning even if what you're doing is to perfectly right and legitimate, but if it looks bad in front of others, that you're not allowed to do. So the Rebbe says that's the issue over here. So my now, given that there are two reasons why it is that you can't bring your own wood into the area of the Beis HaMikdash to burn to your disqualified carbon, either because we don't want to embarrass people who don't have the means, or because if you walk home with the excess wood, people are going to start talking about you. So the Gemara says there's a nafkamina. What would the nafkamina be? Let's say you bring in reeds, other types of fuels that are clearly not atzei amaracha. So if the issue is chashad, there's no chashad over here. Because when you pick up your reeds, no one's going to say, hey, those are the reeds of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash doesn't use reeds. The Beis HaMikdash uses standard blocks of wood. So no one's going to say that you're walking home with the fuel of the Beis HaMikdash. On the other hand, if the issue is not wanting to embarrass other people, so over here, you don't want to embarrass, there still is a concern that you're going to embarrass other people. Because you're coming in with your own fuel and they don't have fuel to bring in. Okay. Tanan Hassan. Gemara quotes a Mishnah from Masechet HaTamid. Rosh HaMamid. HaYamamid Es HaTameim Al Shar HaMizrach. This Mishnah has nothing to do with what we're describing other than the fact that one of the explanations of the Mishnah is Kedei Levayishan, like we've been discussing over here. Therefore, we're quoting this Mishnah in Tamid. But the Mishnah in Tamid is describing an issue altogether different. And that is as follows. The Kohanim are there getting ready to serve for that day. Right? The Mishnayos and Tamid go through basically a day in the life in the Beis HaMikdash. right? What is it going to look like from morning until night for a Kohen, for a typical Kohen working in the Beis HaMikdash, right? Beautiful Mishnayos, really outlining, detailing the avoda of a standard day in the Beis HaMikdash. So as part of the Mishnayos over there, what happens if you have a Kohen who just simply wasn't careful regarding his own tumah, and he became tameh? He was a Balkeri, whatever. So he became tameh. So what happens to that Kohen? So the Rosh HaMaimah, the head of the Maimah, the head of the of that particular shift of the Kohanim, so what he would do is he would stand that Kohen up. So Maimah Desa Tameim Al Shar HaMizrach, by the eastern gate. And now the eastern gate, that was basically the access point of the Beis HaMikdash. Everybody would be coming in from the east side. Right? Nowadays, our focus is on the west side, but obviously that's because, right, that's what we have access to nowadays. And the coast of Maravi is just the western wall of the Harabayas. But when the Beis HaMikdash was in use, so everything would be, all traffic would be filtering in from the east. And so my time, I'm Rav Yosef, Kedei Levayishan. And Rav Yosef says, yeah, perfect. In other words, they now these Kohanim are on for public display in order so that they be embarrassed. So once again, so this would disincentivize the Kohanim from being, so to say, not careful about their status and not doing things that would lead to them becoming a Balkeri. And so good. So it'll keep the Kohanim more in line. So this kind of embarrassment is there to help motivate the Kohanim to be more careful. Rav Amar Mimnei Chshad. Now Rav says the issue over here is an issue of Chshad. Now, although just moments earlier we talked about Chshad in terms of making sure that you look good in front of other people, over here, the Chshad over here is understood a little bit differently by Rashi. Rashi writes, Mishum Chshad, Sheloi Chashtum Shemimnei Melachtam Hein Negdalim Lavo La'avod Avoda U'mahamidim Shem Kedei Sheyira Osam Bnei Adam V'yodim Shemachmas Tuma Heim Chadelim. Okay, fine. And the rest of Rashi just simply made the point that I made earlier, which is that this comes up only because of Kedei Levayishan. But anyway, the way Rashi understands it over here is that, look, these Kohanim are not going to be doing the Avoda. And now questions are going to start flying. Why aren't they doing the Avoda? Meaning they're part of the shift that's doing the Avoda today, and they're not doing the Avoda. What are they, lazy? So when we stand them up on the Eastern Gate, so now they're on full display. Now everyone's going to understand, oh, right, there's a good reason why they're not doing the avodah. It's because they were tamei, and now so people won't suspect them of being lazy. It's really interesting the way Rashi understands these answers of Rav Yosef and Rav are like polar opposites of one another. Rav Yosef says is that we want to embarrass them so that the Kohanim are going to be more careful in the future, and Rav is saying no, we want to save the reputation. Meaning they're not doing the avodah. People are wondering why they're not doing the avodah. Oh, they're not doing the avodah because they're excused, right? Their excuse is not great, but nevertheless, they're excused. Okay, so really, two totally different answers. But anyway, comes up over here because of Kedei Levayishan. Let's continue in the Mishnah. Mishnah continues now describing disposal of karbanos that are disqualified. Ha Pesach Shiyatsa, O Shenitma Yisarv Miyad. So here the Karban Pesach that went through a disqualification of psul. And the psul is inherent to the carbon, i.e. the carbon was taken outside of its prescribed area, right? Parts of the carbon Pesach cannot be taken out of the Azara, otherwise known as the Yimurim, and the blood. Parts of the carbon Pesach cannot be taken out of the walls of Yerushalayim, that is the meat of the carbon Pesach. So if you have any part of the carbon that went out of its perimeter, O Shenitma, or let's say the carbon becomes Tameh, so you start with Miyad. So in terms of where they're to be burnt, that was a previous Mishnah. In terms of when they're to be burnt, so our Mishnah is describing that, and our Mishnah says immediately. And as it will become clear over the course of the remainder of today's daf, the basic idea is as follows. If the psul that the carbon experienced is a psul begufo, if it's intrinsic to the carbon, so then you burn it immediately. You don't have to wait. However, if the psul comes for external reasons, let's say the owner of the carbon no longer is qualified, but the carbon itself is good. So if it's an external disqualification of the carbon, so then you don't burn it immediately. You wait until the carbon experiences a psul begufo, and then you burn it. What is that called? We're going to see in just a moment in the Mishnah what's that called. Nidmu abala moshe mesu. So let's say the owners of the carbon become tameh, or rachmanos, the owners of the carbon die, and so therefore there's no need to bring this carbon anymore, but The psul of the carbon is not an intrinsic psul, but rather an external psul. So to ubar tzu raso v'yisarev v'shisha asar. So 2 points to be made over here, says the Mishnah. One is that it has to go through now a process of what's called ibar tzura. Ibar tzura simply is that you let it wait overnight, and then in the morning now it's going to become the psul of nosar. And therefore, now that it received an intrinsic psul, then and only then are you allowed to burn it. Any carbon that does not have an intrinsic psul, even though it's disqualified and even though it cannot be offered, still its disposal, in this case burning, cannot occur until it receives a psul shebegufo. Good, that's 1 point that we just learned. A second point, explains Rashi, is that you have to burn it, but you can't burn it the next morning. Why? Because next morning is Yontif. Meaning we're talking about the carbon Pesach. So if it becomes disqualified on the 14th, so again, if it's an external disqualification, so you have to lay overnight. Good. So now, the morning of the 15th, now it is a psul shebegufo. Because now it's no sir. Now you can burn it, right? No. Now you're going to have to wait until the morning of the 16th. Why? Because you're not allowed to burn Kodesh on Yontif, meaning Ein Sorfin Kadosh on Yontif. So Rashi quotes over here the Gemara that we're going to see tomorrow's daf, and that's why you're going to have to wait until the morning of the 16th in order to burn it. Rav Yochanan ben Broka Omer Avzei Yisarf Miyad Lefishe in LaOchlin. And then the Mishnah ends off with the sheet of Rav Yochanan ben Broka. And again, a point that we have been consistently making throughout this Masechta, and that is that when it comes to the Karban Pesach, the eating of the Karban Pesach is such an intrinsic part of the Karban that let's say the disqualification of the Karban is that we have no longer any owners to the Karban, meaning no one can eat the Karban. So Rav Yochanan ben Broka is Mechadesh, that for the Karban Pesach, and he's saying it's specific to the Karban Pesach, that for the Karban Pesach is considered a psul begufo, and therefore that could be burnt immediately. Okay. Bishlam atamik siv. The Gemara now wants to know, where do we learn these halachas from? Specifically, as Rashi points out over here, that it requires sreifa. How do we know? Where's the sourcing that disqualified karbanos, specifically the psul of tamei, needs sreifa? You have to burn it. Ksiva basar shayiga b'chol tamei lo yochol be'ish yisareif. Okay, so it's very simple. The pasuk says it beferish. Ela yotze min alan. So the Gemara says, okay, now what about the psul of yotze? So we don't have a explicit pasuk of the Torah that tells us that it has to be burnt. And so therefore what we need is a limud. So what is a limud? Dichsiv, so we're going to go now to psukim in the 10th parak of Vayikra. Now here, this is the back and forth over here. We have a debate that actually occurs between Moshe and Aaron. The date is the first day of Nisan. There are a number of karbanos that are brought that day, but right now we're going to be focusing on the karban chatas that is brought on that very day. And the karban chatas that is brought on that day, truth of the matter is that there are three karban chatas that are brought on that day, and one of the karban chatas was not eaten, was not consumed. Which karban chatas was not consumed? The truth of the matter is that from the Gemara itself, it's not perfectly clear. Rashi, I'll highlight a little bit later on. Rashi tells us which of the Karban Chatzos was not eaten, was not consumed. And we know when it comes to Karban Chatzos, after it's offered, so the Kohanim have to eat it. It becomes an important part of the Karban Chatzos. The problem was, as Aaron now was explaining to Moshe, is that the Karban Chatzos was not consumed because he, together with his two sons, his two surviving sons, Elazar and Isamar, so they were in a state of being an onin. They were an aninus. And that's why they couldn't eat the karban. And Moshe was saying to them, no, you should have eaten the karban. And they went back and forth in terms of whether they should or they should not have eaten the karban. And in the course of the dialogue, debate between the two of them, so we're going to be learning some halachas. So Ela Yotze Min Alam Dechsev, Hein Lo Huvaz Dama Ela Kodesh Pinima. And so here, the Gemara first starts off with the Pasuk, and this is Moshe having a taina against Aaron. You know, the blood was not brought El HaKodesh Pinima. And Rashi understands over here, I'm sorry, let's first continue. Amla Moshe L'Aaron, Madu Alo Achalta Metzachatas. Now, why didn't you eat the Karban Chatas? I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense why you didn't eat the Karban Chatas. So the Shema Nechnas Dama Lefnev Lefnim. So maybe the blood of the Karban Chatas was brought into the Heichal. And under those circumstances, by standard chatas, the chatas becomes disqualified. Yes, it's true, there are a limited number of carbon chatuses where the blood is supposed to be brought in, and notably on Yom Kippur, it's not only brought into the Heichal, it's brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but by a standard carbon chatus, it's not brought into the Heichal. It's just simply sprinkled on the outer Mizbeach. So for a standard carbon chatus, like the one we're describing over here, so if you blow the bread, if you brought the blood into the Heichal, it's disqualified. So Amar Lalav, so Aaron says, no, that's not what happened. Maybe it was taken outside of the Azara. Aaron says, no, that didn't happen as well. But Kodesh Aysa. So, no, it was in the area of the Kodesh. It was in the area of the Azara. The blood was fine. And so Moshe says to Aaron, so good. So the carbon now has not been disqualified. So I have a simple question. Why didn't you eat it? Now, we're not going to be treated to the remainder of the conversation between them, take a look at Rashi over there in those psukim. Rashi goes on to describe that Aaron successfully convinced Moshe that in this particular case, you're not allowed to eat it. Okay, anyway, let's leave out the extra details for now. They're important, obviously. But right now, Michlal, let's just focus on what the Gemara wants to deduce from that whole from that segment of the back and forth. Michlal, the inafke inami ayol dama lifnaim, Lifnim Bas Srefahi. So what we get from this discussion is that Moshe and Aaron were agreeing to these points. Had the blood been taken into the Heichal, so that's no good. Had the blood been taken out of the Azara, that's also no good. It's disqualified, and therefore it's subject to Srefa. Now, the truth of the matter is that the Gemara over here is really difficult to understand, because it's true that we deduce from the dialogue that the carbon is disqualified. There was nowhere in the course of that conversation where Moshe says to Aaron, and you should have burned it. So, right, and this is not me making this point, Tosis makes this point. Admittedly, it's challenging to understand, because the whole point of this conversation is just simply to highlight that that Srefa is required, and here, we don't really see it explicitly in the Pesukim. But anyway, so Bishlam and Nitmagal Rechman and Bekashim Kalim. The kosher came because kadashim. So the Gemara says, okay, let's go over now our two sources. So as far as our first source for tamei, the habasar asher yiga b'chol tamei lo yochel be'ishi saref, that's talking about kashim kalim. And the Gemara says, and it's a logical leap that if kashim kalim that become tamei requires sreifa, so then for sure kashim that become tamei for sure should require sreifa. That's easy. El Yotzei, but now let's go to our source regarding Yotzei. What was our source regarding Yotzei? So that was a conversation that occurred between Aaron and Moshe. Regarding what? Regarding a carbon chatas. What category is a carbon chatas? Kache kadashim. El Yotzei, ashkachan kache kadashim, kachim kalaminalim, but what about kache kalam? And we can't assume that because Sreif was required by a carbon chatas, that was psul through Yotzei, therefore Srefa should also be required by Kachim Kalim. Kachim Kalim, by definition, is a lighter form of Kachim. And so I can't go from Chamer to Kal. I can go from Kal to Chamor, that's called Kal v'Chomer, but I can't go from Chamer to Kal. V'su, and the Gemara says, not only that, v'had t'tanya. And let's ask a second question. We learned in a Braisa. Lana Damaz, we're now on the top of the Amud Beis. Nishpach dama. So either the blood was underwent the psul of lina, and by the way, when it comes to a blood of a carbon, it is subject to lina at what point in time? Shishkia zachama, meaning the blood that's supposed to be sprinkled on the mizbeach. If the sun sets already, now that blood is going to be disqualified. Rashi says at the bottom, Rashi on the Amud Aleph. Or let's say the blood got poured out. So the yatsa dama. Or let's say the blood was taken out. So chutz the klayim, the kaimalam b'sreifa minalan. So how do I know that sreifa is required? So mid Rabbi Shimon the Tanya, we learned in the following brisa. Rabbi Shimon says, Rabbi Shimon Amar b'kodesh b'kodesh b'eishti sreif leimin achatzah sreifa asa b'kodesh. So by carbon chatzah sreifa has to be done b'kodesh. Ainli ala zubavad sharpsule kache kadashim imuri kachim kalim minayin. How do I know by all other carbonas tamalamer b'kodesh b'eishti sreif ashkechan kache kadashim kachim kalim minalan? So good. So that drasha gets me through kachim kalim. I'm sorry, kachim kachim. What about kachim kalim? So ella kol psula bekodesh besreifa loshna kachim kalim loshna kachim kadashim gemar gemir la. So the gemara ends up concluding in this brisa, it's halach l'Moshe Misinai v'chatas de Aaron mishemaisa shaya kachaya. Now as far as the incident with Aaron and Moshe, So that's not the source, meaning Maisa Shahaya. So good. So that was narration. That was a narrative that occurred in the Midbar. And the Torah over there tells us about the dialogue that occurred. But that doesn't become a source of the halacha. The source of the halacha in this particular case is halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. And the story in the Torah is just simply episodic, but it's not the mekor halacha. So ulatan de beirava baravu damar afilu. Some start period. So the Gemara therefore concludes that really the truth of the matter is that the requirement of shreifa by the psul of yotze is really halach lamosh misinai. Okay, ulatan de beirava baravu damar afilu pikolton ibut sura minalan. So now there is a shita of Rabba Baravua, right? And Rashi over here points out, all right, I don't exactly know where the source of this is. Meaning, generally speaking, when the Gemara references a shita, so there is a Mishnah or a Brisa that is the foundation of that. In other words, there's a main source in the Gemara. Over here, Rashi says we don't have that, but either way. So according to this position, Damar Afilu Pigoltan Ibert Surah. So he says that even when a carbon underwent the disqualification of Pigol, which is a psul shebegufo, nevertheless it still requires Ibert Surah. So Minalan, so if that's true now, what is going to be our source that when something underwent the psul of where's his source that you always need? You always needed to leave overnight before burning it. Yalef avanavam minosar. So we learn avanavam from nosar, meaning it's xereshava, right? We have the word oven by nosar. We have the word oven by pigol. And so since we have the word oven in both, and since we have a misora that teaches us that there's xereshava linking the two, so nosar is left overnight. I understand by its very definition, meaning that gets us to the psul of nosar. But basically what we're going to do now is that we're going to transfer that idea over to pigol. Meaning though, even though a carbon underwent pigol, now pigol materializes once the zrika sadam is done. So now the carbon, when the kohen had the machshava of either chutzus mano or chutzum kamo, so then pigol occurs right there and then. But in terms of its disposal, in terms of its burning, you have to leave it overnight. Why? Because of the gzera shava. Again, this is specifically according to the opinion of Rava Baravua. So Vinela Vavonava Michatas, the Aaron. Now there's other ways to go in the Gzera Shava. And this kinds of discussion are always curious because we say very clearly that Gzera Shava ain't Adam Dan Gzera Shava Miatma Ella in King Kibo Mirabo. So you have to have a Masorah for Gzera Shava. You can't just simply find two words and say, hey, it match and connect the two. So okay, so these discussions are always curious. The Rishonim pick up on this. Rishonim do give approaches in terms of how to understand this. But anyway, as far as the chatas of Aaron is concerned, so that was something specific to that point in time. But we're looking to learn what the halacha would be for all future generations. Hasha darmin and kopsule de kosh besreifa loshna de kachem kachem loshna de kachem kalem. So gemara law. So ba kodesh ba ishi sarei flamali. So the gemara says, okay. So now that we've just concluded that the accepted halacha is that when you have a carbon that underwent a psul and that you have to burn it besreifa. So that is halacha lamosh misina. So what are we going to do with the pasuk? Because we did have a pasuk that we darshened from earlier, but now we learned together that we're not really learning from the pasuk, but rather it's coming about via a halach lamosh misinai. So what do we do with the pasuk? Haumi ba'ilei shesreifa so b'kodesh. So it tells me now not how to burn it, because, well, let me say it like this. Not how to dispose it, because we dispose it through burning, and that's learned out through halach lamosh misinai, but it tells me where I'm supposed to burn it, and that is b'kodesh, in the makom hamikdash. Vabasar shesreifa sabakosh, vabasar sheyiga becholtome lo yocho be'esh yisarif lamali. And what do I do with the pasuk that we quoted in the beginning of the sugya regarding the psul of tamei? Hahu legufe yitzarech. No, the Gemara says that pasuk over there is telling us a halacha specific to tuma. Salka dacha min kol psul dekosh kegon landa ma v'nishbach tama v'yatsa dama v'nishchata b'layla. So as far as the halachas of lina The blood was not sprinkled in the mizbech before shkias hachama, or the blood got nishbach. It was poured out and before we got to sprinkle onto the mizbech. By the way, just to elaborate on that point just a little bit. If the blood was already collected in a bowl and then it falls to the floor of the azar, that's no problem whatsoever. You pick it up and you sprinkle on the mizbeach. It happens to be that if the blood did not get collected in the bowl, but in other words, after the shechita, the blood just went directly onto the floor. So that's a psul on that. And under those circumstances, now that it's too late. You can't sprinkle the blood. So, lan dama or nishbach dama or yatsa dama or nishchata balayla. So those you're going to burn, and that's halach l'moshe m'Sinai. But what the Gemara is arguing over there is, yeah, but that doesn't translate to tumah, and I'll tell you why. However, deles nehu b'chulin, because all these psulim are something that's unique and specific to karban. Meaning, if you're shechting a regular animal and having nothing to do with karban, there's no sprinkling of the blood, there's no nishpach dama, there's no yatsa dama, right? These psulim don't apply to a chulin. However, aval nitma. But when it comes to a chulin animal, where the animal becomes, a chulin animal becomes disqualified when it becomes tameh. Now the word disqualification over here is not to be understood super literally. It's a chulin animal. We're not offering it. But the point is, however, is that a chulin animal can become tameh. And as such, so the tumah is not unique in the arena of kachim. It also applies to chulin as well. So therefore, since tumah is not something that's unique to kachim and applies to chulin as well, So therefore, I might have thought that sreifa is something that only is proper disposal of something that is unique in the area of kachim. That's what I would have thought. And therefore, for tumah, which is something that applies to both carbon and non-carbon, so there, a disposal could just simply be bury it. Maybe that's all you need to do. So kamash malan, the chiddush is that even for tumah of a carbon, you need sreifa. And that's why I need a specific pasuk that highlight that I need sreifa by tumah, and I wouldn't have learned it out from the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. Okay, we'll stop over here at the two dots. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. Let's quickly recap our morning. We covered this morning two Mishnayos, and basically our theme for today was proper disposal of a carbon that becomes disqualified. The first Mishnah talks about where the carbon becomes tameh, either all of it or most of it. So the first Mishnah this morning describes where we're going to dispose of it. So, lifnei abir me'aseh ma'aracha, in the area of the Beis HaMikdash, using the wood of the ma'aracha. However, if only a minority of it becomes tameh, or it underwent the disqualification of Nosar. So then you burn it b'chatzor haseim in your courtyards or on your rooftops, and you use your own wood. Cheap people are afforded the ability to go back into the Azara and burn their disqualified carbon, even though it's miut, even though it's only Nosar, but they could use the wood of the Maracha. Good, we discussed this morning, how could you use the wood of the Maracha for disposal, right? Aren't you moel behektesh? And so Tosu says in the beginning of in the Mishnah that Leib Beis and Masnei Aleihem, this was a precondition set into the sanctification of the wood, that the wood is only going to have kedusha if needed, but if needed for something else, so then a condition set in that there is not going to be it's not going to be kadosh meikara. Why are we having people whose carbon becomes tamei? Why are we having them burn in the Beis HaMikdash in front of everybody else? And so the Gemara explains the Kedei Levayshon, because we want people to be careful about the carbon. And if they allow the carbon to become tamei in either all the carbon or the majority of the carbon, so it was a sign of their delinquence. And so therefore we want to embarrass them, and that'll encourage people to be more careful. The Gemara dealt with what seems to be a stira between our Mishnah over here and what we learned earlier regarding the person who pocketed some of the carbon mistakenly, and he left the area of Yerushalayim, and now he's headed home. And does he have to turn around and go back and burn it in the Kodesh? Depends. If he didn't pass Sufim, then he does have to go back. But once he passed Sufim, he does not have to go back. How is that different than our Mishnah over here? The Gemara gave three answers: Rav Chama Bar Ukva, Rav Papa, Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid, according to Rashi, just explaining Rav Chama Bar Ukva. Okay, a number of ways to deal with that. the Braisa, the Gemara quotes the Braisa on Pei Beis Amud Aleph, you can't take the Atzei Maracha back to your house and burn your disqualified carbon using Atzei Maracha in your own home, and you can't bring your own wood into the Bira in order to burn your disqualified carbon. The Gemara goes over both points. Why can't you bring your own wood into the Bira? So the Gemara gave two explanations, Rav Yosef and Rava. Rav Yosef says because people who don't have the means to bring their own wood in, they're going to be embarrassed, and we want to save that kind of embarrassment. And Rava says, no, chshad, you might have extra wood. You'll be tempted to go home with that extra wood, and people are going to see you, even though not realizing that that was your own wood, and you're going to raise suspicion about yourself. And yes, people should judge you favorably, but at the same time, however, you're not allowed to behave in a way that raises suspicion towards yourself. Okay, and then to attend that first sugya of this morning, we quoted the Mishnah in Tamid that talks about the Kohanim that were Tameim, and they were basically set up in front of the eastern entrance of the Beis HaMikdash. Everyone's coming in, everyone's seeing these Kohanim who weren't careful about their Tumah, and why are they propped up over there? The Gemara here gives two explanations as well, Rav Yosef and Rava. Rav Yosef says that we want to embarrass them, so that the Kohanim in the future should be more careful about the way they conduct themselves. And Rava says because of Chshad, people will see them not working, people are going to say, what's going on over here? These Kohanim are lazy, why are they doing the Avodah when propped up in front of the eastern entrance? So that is an indication that they were DQ'd. And so therefore, people will not suspect them of being lazy. Okay, two different perspectives of why the Chachamim did that with the Kohanim. Next Mishnah. We talked about where to burn it. Now this next Mishnah talked about how to dispose of it, specifically burning. So if it underwent a psul shebegufo, so then it requires sreifa. What if the psul was not intrinsic to the carbon? What was external? So the Mishnah taught us that under those circumstances, you don't burn it right away, but you have to wait until overnight, where then it develops a psul shebegufo, i.e. nosar, and then you burn it. So with an external disqualification, you are going to burn it, but not right away. You have to first let it develop an intrinsic disqualification, a psul shebegufo. And then the Mishnah brought down the sheet of Rav Yochanan ben Broka that's specific to the Karban Pesach. If the consumers are no longer available, either they were tummy or rachmanis, they died, so then you're going to burn it right away. That for the Karban Pesach is considered a psul shebegufo. And then the remainder of today's daf from Pei Beis immediately after the Mishnah to where we ended up with. So basically drashas, where do we get these halachas from? That sreifa is required for a carbon that becomes a pasul. We had a pasuk regarding tamei, and for the psul of yotzei, so at first the Gemara thought that we had a drasha based on the dialogue between Aaron and Moshe regarding the carbon chatas that was not consumed, and Moshe says to Aaron, was the blood of the dam chatas brought into the heichal? Aaron said no. Was it brought outside of the azar? Aaron said no. And from there, it's clear then that if the blood was brought either into the heichal or outside, meaning it was taken out of its makom, so then it has to be consumed. It has to be disposed of. We already pointed out, there's nowhere in that dialogue that says the word sreifa, but okay, but the Gemara understood that that's a source. Anyway, the Gemara ended up by saying, no, that's not the source, that's just simply Maisa Shahaya. The source for sreifa by the psul of Yotzei is Halach LaMoshe Misina. That's the Gemara's conclusion. What do you do then with the various psukim? So the Gemara says, okay, we have other ways to darshan the various psukim, notably where to burn it, meaning Lifnei Abira, and also as far as the pasuk that we quoted regarding Tamei, right, that was the first pasuk of the Gemara, right? V'habasar sheyiga b'chol Tamei lo ye'achel ba'ish yisareif. So there it's clear that the Torah wants us to do sreifa for a carbon that underwent Tumah. So for that, the Gemara says, yeah, but I needed that pasuk over there. Because even though I have the halach l'moshe misinai, I might have thought that those are psulim that are only in the arena of carbon, like yotzei, like nosar, right? That you don't have those concepts by a chulin animal, but by tumah, you do have the concept of tumah by a chulin animal. So I might have thought then that for tumah, because it is not something that is unique and specific to carbon, I might have thought that that any kind of disposal would be fine, even kvura. So kamash malan, that's why the Torah has to go out of its way and tell us about tumah as well. Good. Tomorrow, obviously, we pick it up at the two dots.